B-Pod Studios.
Uh-huh. 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. Your phone number to participate, 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hours brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com. And yes, we've been having fun today. It's been a pretty fun day reacting to the NBA draft. I don't see why there was such a frenzy last night, but there was. I found it odd. We spoke to Elton Brand. I asked him flat out, did you have trouble trading with the Celtics? He didn't. A lot of fans did. And not a lot of talk about the player himself. That is another thing that was troublesome about the social media reaction. Hinkie was big on assets and not big on people because he's not good with people. That was his flaw. He would be happily sitting in a basement on a computer, and that's why Brett Brown had to speak in front of the media all the time. He's not a people person. He's not good at humans. He's better at androids and computers and algorithms. He's not good at people. Fine. Because of that, people are ranting and raving about assets and things, not worried at all about people or players. And that was odd last night because we've had quite a few calls, and we've had a few calls that didn't like the player. But for the most part, it's, oh, they should have gotten someone else, not actually talking about the player that they did get. And that's different than most other drafts. With the Eagles, people would say, oh, that guy can't play. But they're talking about a player on the team, not assets and stuff. That's something very Sixer-specific because of Hinkie. And that's something that continues now. 610-632-0975. But we're taking your reaction. And Andrew and Natalie, have you decided what obscure movie someone would have to give the plot to in addition to their sports point to win not one, not two, not three, but four Fan Fest tickets? What movie did you guys choose?
I've got mine. Okay. Andrew, do you have yours?
Yes, I do.
All right. So mine is the 1998 classic, very funny movie, A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, well, it came out in 98.
Yes.
And that's where your sentence truth stops. But that is your movie. So not the SNL skit, the actual movie.
No, the movie. Yeah.
They have to give you the plot of said movie.
Yes.
For their chance to win four FanFest tickets.
Yes. I need to know what the Butabi brothers' goal is in the movie. Because it's a very, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in that movie.
It's a great one.
Isn't that a good one?
No. Now, Andrew, what is your movie?
American classic, Agent Cody Banks 2, Destination London.
Okay, Agent Cody Banks 2. Is that Frankie Muniz?
Frankie Muniz,
wow.
Correct.
That's after my time.
Yeah, mine too. Okay. All right.
Obscure.
It is obscure.
That's what you asked for.
That is what I asked for. Natalie's movie just was a flop.
No, it wasn't.
They
it was
tried
so
to
funny.
Make it hit. No. Of the
it was
three
not
movies,
funny.
It was not funny. But you liked it, Natalie. It doesn't matter. We like it. You like it. That's
not
all that matters.
Not you, my friend.
See, you're going to end up giving away the plot. Trying to sell, is it this part funny? Or what about this part? And then the main part, you're going to end up giving it away.
I will not.
Trying to sell that terrible movie. All right. So that's what we have on the table. It's going to be a fun 5 o'clock hour. Hopefully it's not so notorious. Because it's the last hour before Mike is back. Chuck, West Oak Lane, you'll start us off here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
How's everybody doing?
What's up, Chuck?
All right, real quick, I got Natalie's movie in 15 seconds. It's two brothers who live in the guest house next to their parents. They want to get into the Roxbury, the club. Then they meet a guy who wants to start his own, who wants to use them to start their own club, which ironically is they're waiting to get in the club outside. So their idea of a club is the people outside of the club waiting. It's just an awful concept. It was an awful skit. It was an awful movie. It was, you know, they're driving around town in the family van. There's a, you know, they deliver flowers. They're trying to score with ladies. They run into Richard Grieco for some reason.
Richard Grieco!
I don't know what.
You know what, Chuck? Chuck. You have the tickets. You win, and we'll put you on hold at the end of the call.
That took no time at all.
And now you can transition to your Sixers point. Good job, Chuck.
All right. I tweeted you guys earlier. People are taking this a little bit too far. I think they think they're in the, you know, the process mode. Well, you know, we gotta get somebody who can, you know, who can maybe be a project. We're beyond that now. We like you said, we're theoretically the second best team in the East. Right.
So, yeah, in the NBA, based on playoff results, they were second best team in the NBA, based on playoff results.
So as the second best team in the East, you don't need six second rounders. You need one or two,
uh-huh.
And you need to fill out your bench with some veterans. Now, all of this goes up in smoke if they don't run it back with Harris and Butler.
Or but somehow get somebody Harris better. Butler, like,
who cares about the second round pick?
Unless they get an upgrade somehow.
You're right.
If for some reason Kawhi wants to come or something like that, you're absolutely right. Your main point is absolutely correct. It's about running it back far more than second round picks for this season.
You said something more. I didn't know that player that well, but after I drafted him, went to the computer, looked him up. Nobody is saying he can't do this, he can't do this. They've heard he can't shoot, but if you look, it doesn't look like his shot's broken.
It's not broken.
It doesn't look like he can't play at all. So it's just like, well, I wanted the short guy, the Boston guy. I wanted this guy. I mean, it's just much ado about nothing. This is a championship caliber team. And when you're a championship caliber team, you don't cry about a second round pick you didn't get.
There you go. Let me put you on hold, Chuck, because he gets his four. Well, that was the first caller. I mean, right out.
I'll tell you what. Chuck claiming that it was a terrible movie, he knew every detail. Down to Richard Grieco and the club design that Steve and Doug Boutabi wanted for their outdoor club. Just saying. He's watched Night at the Roxbury more than once.
Yeah.
Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. What is love?
What is love? Yeah, you know, also, that's a terrible song.
It's actually a really great song. If you put it on and the weather's out, look, it's nice out right now. Just turn on some Hathaway. What is love?
See, this is where, like,
let
Natalie,
the sunshine come
now,
in.
Now I'm going to go to the phones. Natalie, you know, I always treat you with respect, right? You think I treat you with respect, right, Natalie?
Yeah.
I treat you like a peer, right?
Yeah, sure
like
do.
Like a colleague.
Sure do.
And a friend, right?
Uh-huh.
This is one of those days
Is it going away?
Where, no.
It's questionable?
Still there. No. What's questionable is this is where I know that, like, you've been treated like a pretty girl your whole life. Because if anybody who's being honest with you will tell you that this song's terrible.
People like this song.
Yeah, guys who like you like this song.
No.
Hey, what do you think about this song, Andrew? You like this song?
It's kind of terrible.
Look at him.
I'm not going to participate.
Come on, Ty.
Nope.
You know you want to.
It's bad, but I mean,
you know you
want
to.
All right, go ahead and fade that garbage out. Natalie, yeah, this is where a guy goes, yeah, I love this song, Natalie. He hates it, but he's like, he likes Natalie, so he likes the song.
Oh, stop people it. It's a lying, fine film.
People have been lying to you about that song
since 1998.
The video's
great, too.
Uh-huh. Now, you know when you got some Jack in you, you'll start singing this.
Uh-huh,
you know
uh-huh.
If it starts playing, you'll start singing it.
I'm going to test it because we're going out later.
I'm not
going
to do this.
Baby, don't hurt.
My body's allergic to that song. I feel like I'm going to fall out of this chair. Now, if you played Return of the Mac, which is a kind of a better version of that song, well, then I'm with you. That's a better version of that kind of song. Because that song is also a nothing song, but it's a good nothing song. T-Love and Collingdale, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Whoa. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on?
I'm going to tell you the truth. Actually, I like that song a lot better than that BS rap song that Mike was trying to slip past us the other day.
Oh, yeah, that Euro rap song.
Big Easy or whatever?
Yeah, Big Easy.
Yeah, Big Easy.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to get a lot of approval.
I wanted to slap him myself. If it wasn't for the beat, you know what I mean?
The beat did what it needed to do, though.
Yeah. Now all you got to do is turn the volume down so you don't hear the vocals. But Electric Boogaloo, I seem to remember it a little bit different.
We already gave it.
It wasn't a great movie. But anyway, let me get to my
Ice-T is in it breaking records.
Yeah, well, you know, he was in Breaking too.
Yeah, he was in both.
You know, so you know, he was better than that. But anyway, let me get to it. Yeah. Sixers. This is my problem with the Sixers. I'm not real good. I don't know a whole lot about the college players and everything. But I think what we got to do, our two stars, basketball IQ, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. I mean, they have to understand what their position is and how that position's played. And that comes from the top. You got to.
Hold on. How was their basketball IQ worse than any other player the second time they were ever in the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing.
Well, answer my question. How is their basketball IQ behind or worse than other players? Compare them to all-time greats the second time they were ever in the playoffs. Compare them to whoever you want. How is their IQ behind Jordan and any all-time great second time in the playoffs? How was their IQ behind them?
Jordan was a better player.
Jordan lost in 3, 4, and 3 the first three times he was in the playoffs. Two sweeps in his first three times in the playoffs.
I'm not talking about whether they won the game or not. I'm talking about understanding your position. Understanding your position means not making a whole lot of turnovers. Your two top players are your biggest turnover guys. Turnovers leads to points for the other teams, and that kills us a lot. Besides the fact that our main guard doesn't want to shoot, I mean, now, dude, this...
Right, but T-Love, that's not basketball IQ. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have to get better. No doubt about it. But I don't see how their basketball... He didn't answer my question. How is their basketball IQ other players with similar basketball experience? It's not behind. Whether it's Curry, you look at all the winners in the league. Look at LeBron. Look at Curry. Look at whoever you want. They're not behind basketball IQ-wise from anybody. You put them up against anybody. The fact that they won a playoff series each time, the first two times in the playoffs, and you say, oh, well, it's not about winning the game. It is. It's only about winning the games. It's literally only about winning the games. And if there's now T-Love already has a predisposition in not liking Ben Simmons, and that's fine. And Ben Simmons not shooting is a problem. But I don't think Ben Simmons is a stupid basketball player. He's a flawed basketball player. There's a difference. IQ-wise, I think they grew in these playoffs as that Toronto series. Embiid found a way to stay on the floor while sick and injured. He didn't know how to do that before. He straight up did not know how to pace himself well enough to make it through a game before. That's something you learn. Shaq had to learn it. When Olajuwon was taking him to school that first time when he was with Orlando, he didn't have that IQ yet. When he won those titles with the Lakers with Miami, he had the IQ of how to manage his body better. All that stuff's all part of it. I don't think they're behind IQ-wise. They're behind championship level, skill-wise, conditioning-wise, other things. But it's not their IQ. Do you have a problem with their basketball IQ?
No.
I mean, they play the game correctly. And B can do a million things. He just has to do them better.
Yes, consistently.
Right, better. He needs to make more threes because until Ben Simmons shoots, he has to take threes. He has to realize, okay, my point guard doesn't shoot. Embiid has to assume Ben will never shoot when he's working on his game. Therefore, the coach is going to ask me to be up top. You know what I have to do? Rather than make 30% of these, I have to make 40% of these. But I'm sure he's working on it. You don't think he's working on his shot? I mean, I'm sure he's... I just don't agree with the premise, that's all. 610-632-0975.
Real quick, yes. Brian Windhorst was on The Jump today on ESPN.
Uh-huh.
And he said that the Nets are confident and gaining a lot of confidence that they are going to be able to sign both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
All right, so that would be a problem in 2 years.
Yes, and Kendrick Perkins is on the set with him, and he said, well, you shouldn't rule out the Knicks. He said, I'm not ruling out the Knicks, but the Nets are very confident that they can get both of those guys this offseason.
So next year, the Sixers still beat the Nets in 5.
Yes.
And then the following year, we'll see. But if the Sixers win the title next year, oh, well, we're about defending the title against the Nets. All right, real fast before we get back to the phones, phone number 610-632-0975. I want to give the Phillies lineup. I know Booney has the graphic ready. And I hate this lineup. Harper leading off, which I think is a little bit of desperation, but okay. Hoskins, Jay Bruce, Real Muto, Segura, who hit a home run yesterday, so it was wise that they didn't bench him, even though they lost. Hit a home run. That's why you didn't bench him. Kingery, third base, Cesar Hernandez. All right. So didn't Franco get a hit yesterday?
Yes.
And now he's back on the bench again. Okay, whatever. And batting eighth, Aaron Nola, and Quinn in center field batting ninth.
I hate the pitcher batting eighth.
Me too.
I always have. I get the thinking of it. Roman Quinn bats ninth. He's fast. If he gets on base, you have the top of the lineup coming up. I get it. But if Quinn's batting eighth, and let's say he gets on first base, the pitcher can bunt him over to second. And then the top of the lineup to try to knock him in.
I don't think it works. I don't think it works. I get the logic behind it. But the problem is you're still giving an inferior hitter an extra chance at an at-bat.
Correct.
Than a guy who hits. And now that he's not switch hitting, I was told that Quinn was going to hit better. So did they not believe what they said? Because they're the ones who tried to sell that to me. So whatever. I hope the Phillies win. It's the Marlins. They're minus 250. Like, go win a baseball game. Like, enough. Like,
don't expect home runs tonight, by the way.
Why?
Because Alcantara, who is the starting pitcher for the Marlins today,
yeah,
only 6 home runs all season. That's second best in all baseball with qualified pitchers.
Well, we don't got to worry about that anyway, because Bryce Harper doesn't hit home runs. Maybe he'll surprise us tonight. Nope. And he doesn't have to. It's okay. He's just settling in this whole season. Next season, he'll have to hit him. He's just settling in. He doesn't have to hit home runs. Malik in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Don?
What's up, Malik?
I'm here to talk about the Sixers. I don't know. First, I want to say this. I think the NBA should put a mandate in the summer league that you don't have to play these players coming out, because we see what happened with Ben Simmons. We've seen what happened with other players on other teams. A good player, good star players, when they should be getting better, but they're sitting on a bench nursing unnecessary injuries. That shouldn't have to be occurred. One. Now I want to get to the Sixers. And the last caller that just called, yeah, like you said, there's no way in the playoffs that their basketball acumen could be better than anybody else that's ever been, in the playoffs. They say Ben Simmons won't learn how to shoot. Eventually he shoots, but there's videos of him out here shooting threes constantly. Like you said, repetition.
He absolutely works on it. That I can vouch for. I can't vouch that he'll shoot him in a game, but I can 100% vouch that Ben Simmons works on shooting three-pointers, two-pointers, and everything in between. Foul shots, you name it. He works on all of it. I don't know if he's going to shoot him in a game, but he works on it.
Eventually, well, I mean, look, same thing with Magic Johnson, as he did. He didn't start shooting until late towards the end of his career, but the next thing was Joel Embiid. He's built for a old-school type game. Once he gets control of the pace, because really this is what, his first full season last season?
No, it's his second full season, and he was all NBA.
Well, you're right. But he's still learning the NBA piece. Same thing with Ben Simmons. The more and more they do it and get there, the repetition will pay off, and these guys are going to be good. The biggest thing in Philadelphia right now is signing Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. They're not worrying about the draft. Well, I'm not saying they're not worrying about the draft, but they did what they were supposed to have to do at the 24th pick. Who else were they supposed to get? They have got a serviceable player that can give them some help this season.
And I think that's what they were looking for, a guy who can help right now. And he's a young guy, cost control, and develop. If he can play, I love it. If he can't play, we're going to be mad at it, but not because the thinking, will be mad about the execution. And I still say that, even though Colangelo is public enemy number one, the thinking behind the Fultz pick was sound. The execution was horrendous. But the thinking of having, and you saw that they didn't, Jimmy Butler had to be a backup point guard in the playoffs because they didn't really have one on the roster. And the thinking would be, Fultz could start next to him, and then when Ben went to the bench, he could run the point. That was the thinking. It didn't work. But the thinking was sound. The execution was terrible. This guy should grow into a nice 3-and-D player, and he should be able to shoot it better than he did in college. The thinking is sound. Let's see how the execution goes. 610-632-0975. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. Time for the final Twitter poll, and it's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Over 2,100 votes today.
All right.
What would you grade the Sixers draft? 6% say A, 29% say B, 38% say C, 27% say D. So 38% C.
That's fine, because the reaction from the fans last night was an F. It was an F draft, so it's good that they, a C I can live with, pending seeing all the players play. But it was an odd night. It was an odd, confusing night. And now, Dan wants to talk about the Phillies from Wilmington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Question for you. How you guys doing, first of all?
What's up, Dan?
I go to the Blue Rocks games all the time, and I've been going since the beginning of the year. And I know Brady Singh already moved up, but I realize that the Blue Rocks are the Royals minor league team or whatever. They're Class A advanced. But their pitching staff is loaded with young talent, and some of them have been moving up quickly. Singh already moved up. Okay. But the Blue Rocks have Kuro, Cowher, Zuber, and Bubich, who's been, I think he's one of their closers, but they have a whole bunch of rotations like that. Are the Phillies considered ever getting one of those type of guys? Because they seem like the Royals, they always have these solid pitchers that move up and everything, and they never really have the good bats, but would that be something you think the Phillies would consider?
Is it analytics? Because if it's not analytics, I don't think they're going to consider it.
Yeah, I mean, they're not just going to go over talent-wise. They couldn't, because, I mean,
sure they try to get talent. I mean, they haven't done a good enough job doing it, but they've shifted to an analytical approach, and that's what they do.
Yeah, so I guess that's a hopeless cause for what I'm hoping.
Well, not necessarily. The analytics may provide them. They think they'll get good pitching. They think they're going to have good pitching. They just don't have it right now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they won't. And also, the Royals are too cheap to keep anybody. So there's Phillies at least have the money to keep people. So it goes both ways.
No, I know. I definitely, because you look at all the people the Royals have had and all the people that have come up through the Blue Rocks, they always get to the Royals, and then they're like, all right, see ya, bye. All right, bye, see ya. And then they have a crappy team. It's like, I feel like their farm system could almost beat the Royals, how bad they are.
So that's really what that's about. Dante and Penn Salkin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Ty? How you doing, bro?
What's up, Dante?
I'm chilling, man. Hey, I want to play the optimistic Sixers fan.
Okay.
I actually liked the draft pick last night. And my thinking behind that was because, you know, Joe and Ben are your two best defenders with Jimmy, you know, if he comes back.
Yeah, I get you.
But my reasoning for them, you know, I think why they drafted him is, you know, to guard the opposing team's, best offensive players. So Ben is not, you know, working so hard on both ends of the floor.
At times, I think that's absolutely true. At times, you can ask him, you go out there and just be a pit bull on a guy for a certain amount of minutes, and that provides some rest. Even if Ben's guarding the guy the majority of the time, he doesn't have to guard him the entire time nonstop.
Right. He's not Kawhi. We understand that. Kawhi is the only person I've seen do that.
Right. He did it to everybody.
Right. And then also, Thibault, you know, 6'5 with a 7-foot wingspan. And, you know, you can't teach, you know, and then he has a dog in him to play defense. You don't just accidentally win
National player,
defensive player of the year,
and national. He was the national player, defensive player of the year. Like, no, he can play defense. I don't know if he can shoot. Yeah. We'll find out about a lot of things. He can absolutely play defense.
Hey, listen. We saw what Covington did, and that was developed, and at times it was terrible, right?
Right.
But you know, he led the league in most deflections, and you know, had a couple defensive player of the year votes. And this guy is the real deal defensively, and I would like to think that he could turn himself into a better shooter than what we had when we had Covington. And also, I think what's really underrated is the development that Brett Brown, and now you have Udoka, the lead assistant. You know, they developed some guys. And, you know, with those other guys there, you know, that culture, the environment, honestly, I really like the pick, man.
No, and so, I appreciate that. A little optimism. That is a good thing. Optimism is obviously a pretty good thing there. Good, but I think he can defend. And Covington was developed here. And Dario was developed to a certain point here. And Dario now has been moved. And he even came out and said, yeah, I was really sad when the Sixers traded me to Minnesota. I'm not sad about it. He thinks he'll start with the Suns. So he got traded to the Suns yesterday, in case you missed it. All you homie fans who used to just... When I said he was an okay player, people used to get really mad at me. Now he gets traded again. I don't hear a single my bad. And it's like you guys didn't even notice that he got moved. So now he's on his third team in like 5 months.
They're recruiting TJ. Phoenix is.
Oh, well, I wish TJ nothing but the best. He's got to feed his family. He's about to get a big pay raise. He got paid $1 million with the Sixers. Relative to pro sports, he's getting paid like we do. About to get a big raise, though. They're going to have to pay TJ. TJ probably going to get like $5 million.
What did Dellavedova get?
Oh, he got more, but he makes threes.
He got eight, right? Eight a year?
But he makes threes.
True.
TJ won't shoot him. If TJ can shoot, first of all, I'd keep him. I would. That's the issue with TJ. It's not personal. It's just
But he's a hustler, Ty.
Yeah, make a three-pointer. or sit your hustling behind down. Josh in Pottsville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone?
What's up, Josh?
Doing today, man.
Doing well. What's going on, Josh?
So I was just wondering what we thought of the Sixers draft yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I like the pick or not. I mean, I was hoping to get like a scorer that could come off the bench, not one of these athletic defenders. But I was just wondering what you thought of it.
I like a defender. I don't like that he didn't shoot the ball well enough in college, but I understand the logic behind the pick, and since I wasn't at any of the workouts, I have to kind of take their word for it until I have reason not to take their word, which will come once I see him play on the NBA level. But I think that he looked for a certain type, and if you look at this, he seems to be the defensive version of what Landry Shamet was. If he defends as well as Shamet shot, then he'll help him right away. So that's where my head is right now with that first-round pick.
I was thinking Elton Brand must know something, I'm thinking, because I don't know, man. I feel like they shouldn't have traded with the Celtics. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it.
Well, why? But now that you see that Ainge is like kind of a fraud, are you still afraid? Yeah. Because Ainge is not a great genius. Like, we all thought, oh, Ainge, people told me, oh, he's a genius. Outside of him fleecing, because he did nothing now with these assets from the Nets pick. So outside of him and his buddy Mikhail making a trade to get him the big three, I don't really know what he's done as a GM. He's not special.
No, yeah, I got you.
So I'm not worried about trade. He's not the boogeyman or the boogity man. He's not scary. He's not Freddy Krueger, not Jason. There's a new Halloween movie coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is this the one where Jamie Lee Curtis returns, right?
Yeah.
She already returned the last one.
But this one, she returns
again.
Yeah, she's standing on the front porch.
Yes.
This is a money grab. Now I'm going to see it, but it's a money grab.
So then it worked.
Did you see the first new one?
No.
The last one?
What? No, why would I watch that?
There's no way there should be another one.
They say this one's going to be the best one.
No, it was a great movie.
Say that about all of them.
But the way it ended, there should not be another one. I don't want to say anything because it would spoil it. There should not be another one.
Oh, real fast, before we go to sound off. Of all the horror movie characters, Booney, I want Booney to weigh in on this too. Who's the best one of the horror movie villains? Who's the scariest one? Because my brother and I get in an argument because he thinks Mike Myers by a mile. And I think it's Pinhead. Those Hellraiser movies is the scariest.
I was thinking either Pinhead and what's the guy from Texas Chainsaw? Leatherface?
Yeah.
Leatherface really scares me,
too. He scares you?
Yeah.
Boonies has his Freddy Krueger friend.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, I hate Freddy, too.
You get into those dreams.
Yeah. I think of Krueger, too. Because, let's face it, Michael Myers is coming after me. I can run away.
You think you can?
No, I can run away. He walks.
I always believed that if it came down to it, and I had the right kind of weaponry, like if I knew he was coming, like these people all know he's coming, I would beat Mike Myers one-on-one.
No, you wouldn't.
I would beat Mike Myers
one-on-one. He doesn't have human strength.
I would beat him if I had the right weaponry.
No, he'd take you down.
Nah, I'd beat Mike Myers. I don't know about Freddy Krueger. I got to sleep.
In one of the older Halloweens, he blew up in some sort of like hospital explosion. He lived. You're not taking down Mike Myers.
I think I can win. I didn't say I would kill him. If I walk away from the fight.
He ain't walking away from the fight. He keep coming.
I think you got to just zigzag him.
I feel like I could. I've always thought that. Me and my brother have had this conversation. I think I could beat him if I had
weapons. He took a sewing needle to the eye in the very first Halloween movie.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. People
that's
do that nothing.
People
in
do
life.
That in real life on. That's an episode of Jackass. It's no big deal. 610. Oh, actually, no. On the other side, sound off. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
Yes, indeed. Last final sound off of the week. 610-771-9705. All right, Andrew, Natalie, let's see what these people have to say.
Is it me or did you come out of that draft deflated? I mean, you trade up for Matthias Thybulle. You give away the 33rd pick. And at the 24th pick, Phoenix took Ty Jerome. I think Ty Jerome and Carson Edwards would have been just what the doctor ordered.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Maybe not. But we'll find out. But I'm not deflated because I didn't really go into the draft with a guy because they were drafted in the 20s. I had like yesterday I had like six guys. I would have been happy with a bunch of guys. He was on the list. That's how I entered. That's kind of what I was looking at. And the guy who I wanted the most went 11th. So one would be upset about that. He went 11th.
I believe if the Sixers do meet with Kawhi Leonard, it is nothing more than to send a message to the West Coast teams that if they want Kawhi, they better back off Jimmy Butler.
Well, I mean, is that that's why I'm going to meet with Kawhi to tell them to back off of Jimmy Butler? Huh? Bad theory.
So the Sixers make a trade to move up in the draft with the Boston Celtics and draft a University of Washington player. Does anybody remember the last time this happened? What are you, stupid?
Okay. It really bothers you. You're worried about it. That's fine. You can have that opinion. I don't think they're the same person. Therefore, I'm not worried about Thybulle, who seems to have a lot of character, being compared to Fultz, who appears to have no character.
The only thing that we have to worry about with Matisse Thybulle between now and October is an Achilles, an ACL, an MCL, a patella tendon, anthrax, or malaria.
Like, That is a good joke. The problem is, so many people did them on social media last night that it's like late to the party. I get it. Their rookies always get hurt. He better not get hurt. But I do get it.
I said locusts. A plague.
Plague.
Locusts. Get it?
Yeah, I get it. But this is what I mean. Everybody has their own version. How about he just plays 82 games?
Fine.
How about that? How about if he just is healthy and you don't put that on that young man before he even takes one dribble? Well, how about we're optimistic for once with this mentality? Natalie, starting with you in the Northeast.
Oh, please.
Yep, Northeast people started this. Go ahead, Andrew.
Why would you give up a pick to take some guy who can't shoot when your better version of him was there at 24 and ended up going 25? Played in a zone defense in college, never developed a three-pointer, and is only okay from the foul shooting line. There's almost no upside to this guy, and you give up an asset to get him.
Well, you hate the pick before he's ever played a game. You're on the record. Now, if he somehow really blossoms, that you should call in, and all you should say for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, no, one full minute, is my bad on a loop. I think that's fair. If you already decided that the kid stinks and he'll never be good and he can't shoot and he has no upside whatsoever and he can't play and everybody else is better than him, if he plays well, you should be willing to say, you know, you can alternate. My bad, I was wrong. My bad, I was wrong. For a full minute on sound off. If you won't do that, you're a coward.
I'm starting to believe that Harper is the new Utley, the Teflon Don of criticism.
You know, we didn't really get to talk about that. There is that big Utley special tonight, isn't there?
It's probably happening shortly. Yeah, the ceremony. He did his press conference.
I'm talking about on TV. Isn't that on next on TV? I think they have the Utley special, and they're going to do all this Utley type of things.
Oh yeah, that's coming up next. It's coming up shortly.
Quick slants first.
Oh, it's quick slants. Oh. Then, yes. Then the Utley special.
By the way, I know we're in the middle of sound off. The patch thing. He's not dead.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Not dead.
I don't understand.
They did it for Jimmy, too. But he's not dead either.
Right. Patches should only be for the deceased, and statues only for people who are out of the city. I think that should be the new rule. I think that's a fair rule.
It's a fine rule.
Yeah.
I'm a Phillies fan who woke up this morning with two tickets in his hand for him and his daughter for Chase Utley night. Normally, I would have been excited. However, my thought goes to the fact that our manager is still Gabe Kapler.
Look, everybody's mad at Kapler. Everybody's mad at everybody except for the star player. I guess that's just what it's going to be. I guess that's just what it's going to be. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm going to worry about this weekend's games against the Marlins, and we'll reconvene when Mike is back on Monday. Close it down.
Best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Got an OPD?
I don't like them.
What are you looking for?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
Thanks so much to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody that watched. Thanks to Natalie. Thanks to Andrew. Thanks to Josh in the back. Thanks to Booney. Up next on the TV side is the Chase Utley special leading into Phillies versus Marlins. On the radio side, the Fanatic Baseball Show hosted by one out Andrew Salchunas, followed by D. Lineham. I'll talk to everybody back in the producer's chair on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.